Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Boy, I love that song. Welcome back. Well, I welcome myself back. Dear Blood River Radio audience. God knows I picked that song. You know, when I picked that song, before I even thought about having Blood River Radio, it came off of a, that song came from a, it's called Onward Christian Soldiers. It was from an all-boys school, looks like from probably fourth grade up to college. And they were singing, all-boys school, all-boys choir, a really upper high-class school, high-dollar school in England, and they were singing Onward Christian Soldiers. My wife was undergoing a chemotherapy. She had cancer then, but God knows she's, I forgot how many years ago that's been. That was one of the hardest parts of my life I've ever had to go through. But that's why I picked that song, and as long as Blood River Radio is going, I'll always have that song in the rotation. But people... you're still listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're getting ready to bring on none other than Mr. Mark Tommy, our brother in the League of the South. And before I forget, I didn't hearken to these announcements too much during the first hour because I know Dr. Hill's his voice is still a bit down. I hope he didn't mind me telling you he was pretty sick. You know, there's kind of suspicious things going on there. I personally think that he was poisoned. I really do, intentionally. Now, there's no such thing as a conspiracy theorist because everything is a damn conspiracy. If it happens in politics, if it happens anywhere, FDR himself, he should know he's a damn communist, he was, that if it happens, it was planned. But anyway, people, I want to let you know, I want to remind you, as of July the 2nd, Blood River Radio is going to the third hour. And listen, I've never had such a great honor since I've been doing this show. As you know, if you remember, you people that have been listening long enough, last June, I went down to the Pensacola, Florida. I was invited down there to the Liberty USS Liberty Veterans Association. Went down there, and we broadcast a bunch of hours. They were on a Sam show Friday, and I think Sam show for an hour Saturday morning. Then they were on Blood River for 2 hours, on James's show for an hour. And they loved me. I loved them. And they... kind of looked around, shopped around for a radio station because they want to come on for an hour. And they don't want to go, they didn't want to go deal like the Sam or some other network. They wanted to come and pay a homage and honor to Blood River Radio and to me, you know. And I please, God, don't think I'm arrogant. And I tell people out there that are praying, people, in your prayers, please pray for me and pray your number one prayer, pray that I never get arrogant. Because I'm going to tell you flat out, if you get arrogant, or if you get out of line too bad, God will punish you and bring you down, man, because it happened to me. I wasn't always running marathons, you know. I was at one point, I couldn't hardly walk. And I spent the summer of 1993, for instance, in a fetal position in the living room floor. I used to be embarrassed about that. I saw every doctor the VA had, psychiatrist, the psychs at the VA, they handled the anti-seizure medication. I was having all kinds of seizures from the brain damage. I saw a neurologist for nerve damage. I saw a cardiologist for my heart, a nephrologist for my kidney. And I tell you all that because, you know, you need to know I'm kind of like a walking miracle. And God saved me. He saved my sorry, miserable soul for a purpose. And the point I'm trying to say is I can't stand an arrogant SOB. So please play for Blood River Radio. Pray that I'll never get arrogant. And pray that the United States Ship Liberty Veterans Association's radio show, they're coming on. They're financing the third hour. I didn't pay for it. The Blood River Radio, the USS Liberty Veterans Association, we're so impressed. They love us so much. They picked Blood River Radio of all the shows because, to quote Phil Torney, we got balls. And, his bumper music, Don't Back Down, he said the Miller doesn't back down. Anyway, July 2nd, I promised him I would plug it. July 2nd, once again, United States Ship Liberty Veterans Association. It'll be a whole hour just for them. It'll be just them. They're going to direct the whole thing. I'll probably just bring them in and out of the breaks, but they are going to take phone calls. You're going to love it. You're going to hear stuff that will turn your stomach about what happened to this, of what was done to them by our greatest and our only ally in the Mideast. Anyway, people, we're bringing on Mark Tommy, my brother, your brother, your friend, my friend. And how you doing tonight, Mr. Tommy? I had to come out there. We almost put a contract out on you because we thought you were going to fail.
No, I was trying to get a little yard work done this afternoon, and the time just got away from me. So I apologize for being late.
That's okay. Just don't let it happen again. We'll let you go by because we said we already had Luca Brasi was coming out. He won't know where you live. I said, well, hold up. I think his wife's going to get him in time. But, yeah, Luca Brasi was going to come out there and talk to you, son. But anyway.
Yeah. I'll be watching for a package of dead fish to arrive, arrive at my house sometime.
Yes, sir. I got to tell you a little joke right quick, like, and this is totally off base, off topic. One of my favorite cartoons, they used to have this cartoon strip years ago when I went to University of Memphis, and it's called The Far Side. Well, they had
I love The Far Side.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. They had these really rough fish. And they had like these gangster hat ons. One of them had a club at his fins, and there's like three of them, and they had this other fish. They had him like tied up, and they had styrofoam. They had blocks of styrofoam they were tying to him, and he said, tonight he sleeps with the people.
Yeah.
I tickle the hell out of me. I had to say that. I know people know. People, you know, if you ever wonder if the bombardier is crazy, now you'll know it for sure.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites is a scene from a backseat of a car looking over a lady's shoulder, and she's looking in the right hand, the passenger side rearview mirror. And of course, it's got the little words on it, objects in mirror are closer than they appear. And then there's this huge bloodshot eyeball in the middle of it.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, man, I tell you what. Yeah. They had some of the greatest cartoons I've ever seen. I wish I could pick up that. I wonder if they have archives.
I ran across a Facebook page that is all about The Far Side. And
go ahead. Yeah. Hey, Jay just said, you know, Jay, is that you or is that Cam? I thought it was Jay. They switched. Hey, you know what, Mark? They switched these names. They switched the voices in and out on me just to see if I could. They tried to trip the bombardier up. Hey, but nothing gets by the bombardier on. But anyway.
That's right. Got to keep you looking through that bomb site.
Got that right. Got that right, buddy. Hey, I got a whole lot of stuff to cover, but you're the guest, brother. So I'm. So if you will, lead us any topics that you might have. If you don't have, I got plenty.
Oh, gosh.
I tell you what. Tell us about.
What topic is there not to talk about? Yeah,
I tell you what. First of all, we got Rand on. If y'all got anything, I might just one of my trademarks. I dumped a lot of napalm on the first hour, so I'm getting low. I think I'm going to take the B-17 back and get another load of napalm. So y'all, I hope y'all got some. But Dr. Hill talked about the League of the South and all the guests down there. And I think did you speak down there, Mark?
I did. Due to circumstances with some of the other speakers on the first day of the conference, I wound up being the leadoff speaker. Sam Dixon, I think, had gotten held up in court and couldn't make it to speak in his regularly scheduled slot. But yes, I was one of the speakers there, and my family was down there in the Orlando area on vacation. And so I only got to stay for about half the day on Friday. And then I had to head back down there to spend time with my kids and grandkids. So I didn't get to hear a lot of the other speakers that presented stuff at the conference this year.
Well, I'm so glad that Sam Dixon was good enough to come down there to get me out of jail. And I apologize, everybody, for holding him up and everything. Of course, I'm just joking then. Yeah, he had to get me out of jail. I was in there for drunkenness and disorderly conduct. And they said I was, I had insulted the Antifa's wife and made, undue suggestions for them. But anyway, I guess that's the way it is when you're a Southern redneck. But you know what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I realize that you're joking about that, but in every comical comment, there's a kernel of truth, and And one of the kernels of truth in what you were just saying is that the so-called legal system that we have in place nowadays is completely against folks like us. You know, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the Jewish folks, you know, any radical leftist type organization, they can do and say anything they want. They can go riot. They can beat people up. They can destroy property with impunity. But let one of us just be minding our own business and get caught in the crossfire and legally and morally defend ourselves from an attack by these people, and we're the ones who get put in jail. We're the ones who get prosecuted, and they walk, you know. And it's if that's not one issue that should be enough to begin to make our fellow Southerners wake up and realize that the United States of America and its so-called justice system is your mortal enemy. And if you allow yourself to get sucked into their vortex, you're going to wind up either losing everything you've got or in prison for a long time. So take that for what it's worth and make your decisions now as to how you're going to act when certain situations present themselves to you. But they are not your friends. The system is not there to dispense justice. It's there now to be a truncheon, to bludgeon us to death.
And with that, we'll go right back. Dr. Hill kind of spoke to that a little bit. Don't let me forget to tell you about what we said about the FBI. And we're getting ready to go to our first break, second hour. And I think I'm going to ask Mark to kind of go over his speech. And later on, we'll probably be able to bring Ryan in. Ram. Be right back, folks. Hang on.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Well, dear precious Blood River Radio audience, God knows we do this for y'all. We don't all do it all just for y'all out there. We do it for our families, too. We all have families and loved ones. And speaking of families and loved ones, this is Father's Day. And in case any of you people are just tuning in, including Rand and Mark, I wish all of y'all a happy Father's Day tomorrow. As a matter of fact, my family's taking me out tomorrow. I've already gone over the menu. I've ate pretty good, but you don't have to watch what I eat because I'm getting ready for my I run these unending marathons, and so you can't gain too much weight, because every pound you gain, man, it's just amazing how much 2 pounds will make a difference and make you work harder. Anyway, happy Father's Day out to all of y'all, to you too, Mark, and you, Rand, and hope y'all have a good one tomorrow. And Mark's going to hit some high points. He gave a talk. He gave an outstanding talk last year down at Pine Level, Alabama, at the League of the South National Conference. And matter of fact, he was our first guest we'd home. We did a broadcast down there last year, and Mark was our very first guest on. And he went over the high points of his talk. So anyway, carry it away, Mark. Tell us what you want to about the high points of your speech. So
just kind of give you the overview. Is the title of the speech was Loyal to Blood and Soil, and the essence of what it was about was trying to present facts and evidence from the definition of words and things like that, and from some theological standpoints, why our people need to disabuse themselves of the false notion that the United States of America is a nation or a country in the proper understanding of what those words are really defined as in the English language. And then why they should transfer that loyalty to where it actually belongs, with their own people and their own particular place on earth. And so it basically made the historical and legal argument that the United States of America is nothing more than the federal government that was created by the ratification of the U.S. Constitution. And up until the period after the so-called Civil War, all American statesmen referred to the United States as a union of sovereign and independent states. And it wasn't until after the war, when that original founding system was turned on its head, that the idea that the United States is this one nation indivisible kind of crap that Francis Bellamy concocted with his socialist Pledge of Allegiance, and that the U.S. flag came to represent a people and supposedly represent a country. And that's all a myth and an illusion. It doesn't fit with the definition of the words. And so if you go to the Oxford English Dictionary, which is, you know, the most well-researched and well-respected dictionary of the English language, it defines a nation as a race of people who have a common history and a common culture, a common religion, and who occupy a particular place on the earth. And then it defines a country as a nation with a government of its own. And so when I presented that, I said, so you could say that the Southern people are a nation without a country, because we are a particular and distinct race of people with our own culture, our own history, our own language, and our own way of life. And we occupy a particular spot on the earth and have for 400 years, but a government of our own has been denied to us since the 1860s. And we've been under the occupation of the United States. So after making those distinctions, I brought up some of the theological aspects of from a Christian perspective of why it's perfectly natural and right for you to love who you are, love your own people, and that it's perfectly natural and right for you to love your own people above others. I quoted extensively from St. Thomas Aquinas and his Summa Theologica. And he said even within the family there's a hierarchy. You know, we love God first, we love our parents next, we love our siblings after that, and then members of our extended family and neighbors and so on and so forth. So the further you get away from your own nuclear family, the less important those connections to your fellow man become, and the less you love and consider those people. So it's perfectly okay from a theological and moral standpoint for we Southerners to love our own people above the rest of the folks that live in the so-called United States, and to desire what's best for our folks, and to want to have a country of our own again. There's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be able to do that, other than our folks have undergone a century and a half of brainwashing and propaganda into making them think that they're Americans and that they owe their allegiance to this government called the United States of America, which does nothing but use and abuse them over and over and over again. And so, you know, at some point you have to ask yourself the question, I mean, why in the world do our people continue to give their allegiance to a system that hates them and is actively seeking their destruction? You know, why do you want to continue to give your sons and daughters to their military to go over halfway around the world to kill people and break things in the name of this empire? And then when they get home, you know, for all of the nonsensical hoopla about, oh, we support our troops and, oh, our heroes and all this other kind of stuff, guys come back over here, you know, and women come back over here with legs blown off, with all kinds of mental problems and other horrible wounds, and they die in the VA hospitals waiting to get treated, you know. So that's how much the empire cares about its cannon fodder. So, you know, forgive me if I don't get all teary-eyed and misty over the idea that I or one of my children should be called into the service of such an evil, dastardly regime.
Amen, man. That you're on fire there, my brother. You know, I'm thinking of, you've got these people, and you made me pique my interest with the St. Thomas Aquinas. I would love to study that. It's obvious you're a scholar, Mark. By the way, Mark, I forgot. What is your position? I forgot in the league. I know you're up there in the League of the South. Are you the chief? You're not the chief intelligence officer, are you?
Highest office is executive officer. So I guess in the chain of command, I'm the next guy down below Dr. Hill. And then I also sit on the board of directors.
I got you. And you also, Mark's also an engineer, Fred Leutcher, one of our past guests. I hope we can have Fred on before too much longer again. But, you know, when you said that stinking Yankee flag, I'm thinking about this unending, totally... it's not out of control. It's in control. They're swamping us. These four, these color, this mongoloid, mixed, dusky races coming in. I just came back from the park today where I run. Sometimes I run this place called Shelby Farms. It's the largest urban park in the United States, much larger than Central Park. And just a few years ago, you never saw a Mexican or an Islam, you know, Arab, whatever the hell they are, but it's gotten darker and darker and darker. All of our Blood River Radio audience, they hear me complain about this all the time. I was just over there just this morning doing a little 8-miler, and all you can hear, I'm not kidding you, you'd think you were in Mogadishu. You don't see any white people anymore. I think the white people are afraid and they're getting crowded out. But this same Yankee government, they're the ones bringing these thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of these mongoloids to bring it in and to outbreed you and to overload the infrastructure, overload the highways, the hospitals. I had one fellow out there, I think, in Arizona. He said you can't even get into a damn hospital because they're just covered up. You know, the OR, the mercy rooms are swamped with them. And then they increase the tax. Yeah. The taxes are out of control. Gene Andrews said her taxes up there in Nashville, Mark, they're going 34% increase. They've got this LGBT, all these endless sex of perverts coming in wanting to sexually molest your children in school. That's this stinking Yankee government that you love so much. And before I'm going to shut up and see if we can bring Rand in. 51% of all the military services are stocked with the 20% of the population. The southern people make up 20%, one-fifth, yet we stock over 51% of the people in the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and Marines come from the south. And people, we're going to our second break. When we come back, I'm sure Rand's probably got a few questions, got a few comments since he called in. Be right back, folks. Hang on.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Infants, toddlers, and preschoolers could get their COVID shots as soon as next week. That's when they will become available, as federal regulators have formally signed off on making the vaccine available to kids as young as 6 months old. The FDA signed off on the vaccines from Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech on Friday. The CDC followed suit on Saturday. Millions of doses have been ordered by the government for distribution across the country. Some 18 to 19 million children are eligible for the shot. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg personally knows what many travelers have faced over the last couple of days. That's because his own flight from D.C. to New York was canceled. He wound up driving here to the Big Apple. He told the Associated Press his department could take enforcement actions against airlines that failed to live up to consumer protections. But Buttigieg wants to see whether there are major flight disruptions over the 4th of July weekend and the rest of summer. This is USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
Officials in Philadelphia have identified the firefighter who was killed after being trapped in a building that caught fire and collapsed early Saturday morning. 51-year-old Sean Williamson was a lieutenant who served the Philly Fire Department for 27 years. Deputy Fire Commissioner Craig Murphy says he personally knew the fallen firefighter.
This was just a catastrophic accident that really hurt our department, and I know this member well, and hurt the fire service as a whole.
Williamson leaves behind his mother and son. Four others were injured in the same incident. One firefighter remains hospitalized. The price of Bitcoin fell below $20,000 for the first time since November 2020. It dropped by as much as 9% on Saturday to less than $19,000. Bitcoin has now lost more than 70% of its value since reaching its all-time peak of $69,000. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Oh, my precious Blood River Radio family out there. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know, we have Mark here. And we're going to go right back to him after the break. But I was going to say, hey, Rand, give us a call. I know you've been out there hauling hay. Hope you didn't get crowded out. But if you want to, call on back in, brother, and come back in on our lines. You know the one I'm talking about. And because I'm sure you have some questions for Mark and some comments. Y'all, all you're both Blood River Radio guys and both League of the South guys. Anyway, we'll go back to you, Mark, if you have anything else. And before I start making other comments, because I don't want to hog this show, buddy, that's for damn sure. But go ahead, Mark. Tell us a little bit about, we were talking about Istanbul and what used to be,
Constantinople.
Constantinople. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's interesting to me.
Well, the reign of Emperor Constantine, who was the emperor of the Roman Empire there in the 4th century, he ended up moving the capital or establishing a new capital for the eastern part of the empire in what's now present-day Turkey. And the city that was established for that was named after him, and it was called Constantinople. And it kind of became the center of in the early Christian era. It kind of became the center of activity and so forth for the eastern part of the Catholic Church. But you know, unfortunately, the Muslims came in around the year 1000 or so and invaded that area and drove the Christians out. They took over the city. They renamed it Istanbul. They converted the beautiful, one of the most beautiful Christian churches in the world, the Hagia Sophia, if I believe I've got that right, and turned it into a mosque. And to this day, it still has a crescent moon on top of it instead of a cross.
That's pitiful. You know what? You know, I know there's no way you can know this, but you might have a good idea. I've wondered why. I'm not going to say God let that happen. Do you think that maybe, before I ask you, why did God let that fall? I know this may seem a little bit off topic to some people, they might think it is, but I've always been interested in this because I'm not that very well versed. And I know there was the part of the Catholic Church that was centered around Rome, Italy, and the part that was over there in Constantinople. But I wonder if the people got weak there and started sinning. I wonder if God let them be taken over by an enemy, Mark, because the same thing that's happening in this country right here, Mark. And that's what I was going to get to. You know, I want people to know, you know, Rome fell. Rome was taken over by, by the good Germans. You know, the Germans were badasses in those days. What became, you know, the Germans and the Gauls and people like that. But, Mark, do you think what happened to Constantinople, specifically, even more so than Rome, do you think what happened there, can you see any parallels? And I just got this out of the top of my head just on the fly. We always fly by the seat of our pants here on Blood River Radio. But do you see any parallels there, any patterns between Constantinople and what's going on right here in the so-called United States? Is that a bridge too far?
Yeah, I think there are. You know, history tends to repeat itself, as the old saying goes. And, you know, from a Catholic theological perspective, you know, the idea that things happen the way they do, the fact that God allows a certain amount of bad things to happen to people or to countries as time goes on and whatnot is all part of his grand providence. And of course, with our finite human minds, we can't fully comprehend what his providence is, because he sees time from the very, you know, from the very beginning all the way through infinity, and we can't even comprehend something like that. And so, but you know, these things are allowed to happen either as punishment for people losing the faith and God. Sometimes they are to learn a lesson. You know, for example, when you're a parent, you're trying to raise your kids, and every once in a while you have to take that belt off and give them a whack across the backside. In order to straighten them up and get them to do right. And God does the same thing to us in one way or another, you know. So I think there's a passage from Scripture, but, you know, it says that God chastises those whom he loves. And so so sometimes it's a way to get in not do things.
Mark, you're cutting out pretty bad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're far. Are you far away from your phone, or do you know? It was really erratic, but
sometimes my signal's a little weak here.
Okay, well,
sometimes the punishment is severe, you know, and cities are destroyed, like Sodom and Gomorrah, and things like that. So. So in the grand scheme of things, you know, these things are allowed to happen because God gave us free will. We either get to choose to know, love, and serve him and be rewarded for that, or we get to choose evil and be punished for that. And so, you know, for one reason or another, that's how things happen through the course of history.
You know, it rains on the good as it does the evil. I think the scripture says something like that. You know,
right, Mark, on the just as well as the unjust.
Yes, there you go.
You know, Mark, you're one of the oldest members of the League of the South, not just chronologically, you know, age-wise, but I think Dr. Hill said you're second in age, in longevity in the South, maybe the oldest member. Him, you, Dr. Hill, and I think he said Sam Dixon. God, who could not love Sam Dixon? That guy, what a great mind, what a great person, a great friend, a great brother. Yeah. But, you know, you've been in the League of the South a long time, and I know a lot, and I go along with the philosophy of the League of the South, and I go along with the forecast, you might say, that what's going to happen here in the United States, in the so-called United States in the South. It's, you know, Mark, and coming from that historical viewpoint that we in the League of the South have had, is the United States – this may be a rhetorical question. Is it in a severe downfall now? If so, is it being brought on because the United States has become like a new Sodom and Gomorrah where anything goes? I mean, 45-year-old fat men having sex, sodomizing little 8-year-old boys, like I said earlier, I think maybe could have been when Dr. Hill was on. That's not looked – they're not looked at as one of them I heard say – he said – I'm not a monster. I just children, just my sexual preference. That doesn't make me a monster. You know, that's going on left and right. Mark, is the United States, the Yankee government, is it being taken down right now? And if so, is it God's will, in your opinion, as a pretty much of a Bible scholar? What do you think about that, Mark?
I think that's very much the case. People tend to look at what's going on now, and I think they take a view of what they think America is. The expression that I've used over the years is that their eyes are like fairy dust, and they have what I consider the false notion that the U.S. system is really pretty good if you just had the right people running it. But, you know, my counter argument to that is that, in most people's opinion, the right people running it would be those good conservative Republicans. And since Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980, the Republican Party has controlled all three branches of the federal government up until now, with the exceptions of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama's presidencies. They've had control of all three branches of the federal government. They've appointed numerous federal judges. Most of the justices that are sitting on the Supreme Court right now were appointed by Republicans. And look at what you've got. I mean, do they abide by the Constitution? Do they govern justly? You've got a regime that promotes sodomy. You've got a regime that promotes infanticide through murdering babies in their mother's wombs. They continually engage in unjust wars around the globe, you know, killing people and breaking things for no other reason than greed and wanting control of other people's resources. And so God punished that. I mean,
you know,
it's evil. In other words, if you have a Christian moral compass at all, and you're willing to wipe that star-spangled fairy dust out of your eyes and look at it dispassionately and logically, the only conclusion you can come to is that the U.S. regime is satanic. So why do you give it your support? You know, why
Amen.
Do you pledge allegiance? Why do you pay taxes? Why do you do all this? Why do you quote-unquote obey the law? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Amen. We have to go to our last break, Mark. I've got to make a quick announcement. The news just came in. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seat.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. we propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Calling all patriots. Come meet a modern-day hero, Tom Jones, on day 68 of his 76 marathons in 76 days on behalf of the American Village West. We'll be at the Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah on Friday evening, June 24th at 5 p.m. There will be free food and drinks. Who is Tom Jones? Loving Liberty's Sam Bushman interviewed him on day one in Alabama just moments before he began his first marathon. Get to know Tom at UnitedWePledge.org.
Well, dear Blood River Radio audience, God bless you so much. And not audience, you're our lifeblood, you're our people. Hey, this just in, James sent me something to announce. An old nemesis of ours, a guy who hated our guts, I think he called James a pedophile, called me worse. My grandson, we were campaigning for Trey Hargett one time. Trey Hargett won the guy that originally started TPC. We were, me and James and my grandson, we were helping Austin Farley. We were helping him campaign for the state congressional district number 7. This dude, Trey Hargett, his daddy was a major general in the U.S. Army, and he was made the provost marshal, commanding general of the National Guard of the state of Tennessee. The guy was just a slob. I mean, I doubt if he even knew what a damn rifle looked like. But due to his political influence, his baby boy, Trey Hargett, I used to call him Trey the Lionhearted to his face because he was such a damn coward. But anyway, he was arrested. He's, the Tennessee Secretary of State, making all kinds of money, living up there in Nashville, chasing the whores, boozing it up, having a good time, and like all these good Southern Baptists do. Anyway, he was arrested for DUI after leaving Bonnaroo Festival, wherever that is. And this happened, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday, June the 18th. June the 18th, that's today. Secretary of State Trey Hargett was arrested for driving under the influence on Friday night after leaving the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival in Manchester, Tennessee. This is on Friday night after leaving the festival. I was stopped by the Tullahoma Police Department and subsequently arrested for DUI, he says. He goes on and says, then he goes on down here. It's a serious offense, and no kidding. He says he regrets the circumstances. I bet he regrets the hell out of it since he's in jail. He said, he respects the law. He respects law enforcement. And he will trust the legal process if we move him forward. I'll say, right on into that prison, buddy. Anyway, he got his position because of who he was. He's nothing but a mindless, brainless coward. We talked. We used to deal with him face-to-face all the time. And, you know, when me and James were running, you know, we were trying to help old Austin. I can't tell you one more thing about old Austin. This dude was leading. Well, he was leading in the race for the 7th Congressional District of Tennessee. This goes way back. I don't even think we had TPC then. I can't remember. We had TPC. Yeah. But anyway, we were leading in the – we were leading. They were giving the vote count on the news. And this is how dishonest the vote tabulations are. We were at the news. Austin Farley was in the lead. Get this. They went to a news break, you know, a commercial break for the news. When we come back, Austin Farley was not only was he no longer in the lead, he had lost votes. How the hell do you go to a break, a news break, and come back and lose votes? Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't put it past old Trey and Major General Pappy being behind all that crap. But anyway, I appreciate you sending that, James. And I tell you what, I'm glad that dude getting his comeuppance. But you know what? The way it's rotten as the system here is in the state right now, they'll probably give the son of a bitch a medal. Anyway, people, we're going right back to Mark Mark, continue on, fellow. And I think
I was just going to make a quick comment about that situation. Is that a nice little saying that I picked up years ago? Is that this fellow you're talking about sounds an awful lot like the thief who's not at all sorry that he stole anything, but he's terribly, terribly sorry that he got caught.
he's absolutely sorry. He's going to apologize. And, you know, Mark, you may not know it. You haven't been on the show a whole lot, but I just slammed the hell out of these Southern Baptists. You know, I tell people I'm a recovering Baptist. I was baptized in a Baptist church. I came to Christ very late in life. I've done everything very late in life. Became a registered nurse, trauma certified at 45 years old. Done everything late. Ran my first marathon at 65. Yeah, I've done everything late. But anyway, and I kind of got sidetracked because I'm so glad to see that SOB got caught. You're talking about a hypocrite and a coward. Yeah, I used to get in his face when he used to try to give us a hard time. And I used to call him Trey the Lionhearted because he's what a piece of crap, man. Anyway, I'm going back to you. Hey, by the way, your coverage is really good. We're getting you're getting out real good now. Chris,
good.
We had a little trouble there. But continue. I didn't make it to interrupt too much what you're wanting to do. But go ahead.
Oh no, that's fine. That's the nature of these kind of radio shows, is the conversation goes back and forth, and there's give and take and segue from one subject to another. So it's not a big deal. The last thing I was leaving off with was that it's hard for me to comprehend how people who claim to be devout Christians can look at the U.S. system and see it as anything other than the evil satanic thing that it is, and why they want to continue to give their loyalty and allegiance to it is just mind boggling to me. I just don't understand it at all. And, one of the things I mentioned was, about obeying the law. Well, one of the things I mentioned in my speech that came from St. Thomas Aquinas was that obedience, the virtue of obedience, is subservient to the virtue of justice. And he very specifically said that anytime the civil government enacts a law that is contrary to the law of God, we are not required to obey it.
Yes.
So why in the world, because a bunch of yahoos in Washington or in Montgomery or Little Rock or Nashville pass a law that says that you have to give equal rights to sodomites, we don't have to obey that law, because it's against the law of God. But yet that's just one example. I'm sure we could cite a number of other examples of laws that have been passed by local, state, or the federal legislatures that completely contravene the natural law and the law of God. And yet we just, say, well, we got to obey the law. Well, no, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, you don't have to obey the law when it goes against what God has decreed to be good and just and right. And too many so-called Christians have lost sight of that fact. They're good Americans first, and they're Christians second, and that is a horrible inversion of the correct hierarchy of things. And I see it all the time. I live in rural northern Alabama, and I drive around and I see all these little country churches and whatnot, and if they've got a flagpole out in front, they've got the U.S. flag flying on top of it. And if they have a Christian flag too, it's underneath the U.S. flag.
Yes.
Mark,
I got to tell you something. I don't want to cut you off. There's a wonderful Jew school here in Memphis. They've changed the name, but it's the Jewish Academy. And you can go over there and you'll never see nary a black person come out of that school. But This is the only place I know of. You mentioned that in every single church in the United States, especially the Southern Baptists, they'll have a, I have it particularly in for them, but and all the people listening to the show know why. But every single Christian church just about in the country will have that American flag up there, the Christian flags below. But when you go to the Jew school, They have an American. They have this the Yankee flag up, and then they have their that Star of Baal that people call it Star of David, but David never had a star. It's a satanic star. But they have their Israeli flag, and it's flying at the exact same height as the Yankee flag. And I swear, I believe by looking at it, I think it's a few inches higher. Where is there any place in the United States? How are they getting by there? There, Mark, these people have this so-called Yankee, these people that love the Yankee flag so much and want to march and kill everybody in the whole world for the Yankee government and the Yankee flag. Why, you know, they think every country in the world should be subservient to them, which is Sodom on the Potomac. Why, how in the hell are they letting letting that Jew flag stay up there, that is that Israeli flag, the satanic flag, fly even with the Americans? I don't know why, but what do you think about that, Mark?
Well, you just answered your own question. You know exactly why it is that way, because it is people of that particular persuasion, and that being Jewish, who control the financing and entertainment and television in the United States. And so you know, there, as the old saying goes, he who pays the piper calls the tune. Well, if the U.S. government is going to go and borrow trillions of dollars from these international Jewish banking cartels, then they're going to call the tune.
Yes.
And they're going to be able to say, this is how we want it, and this is what you're going to do. And the U.S. government steps and fetches like the good house Negro that they are.
Yes, they are. You know, we'll get another whole show on, and I'll ask all you Yankees out there, all you people that love that Yankee flag, why do we even have Jewish bankers loaning money to the United States government? We need to do a show on that. I know why. I bet Mark knows why. But you know what? In 1913, when they had that Federal Reserve Act passed, I think 80% of the legislatures already gone home for Christmas. You know, they passed that, and these Jew bankers, and we have one, I think her name is Janet Yellen. She's in the head of the Treasury right now. It's always a damn Jew that are head of the money, head of the Treasury, head of the Treasury, usually behind the IRS. But why do we need private banks run by Jews loaning money to the United States government? That's just what you pay your income taxes on, is to pay the interest back on that. But I don't want to get too far-fetched on that. We could do 2 hours on that. But Mark, go ahead, Mark. I didn't want to cut you off. I'm getting too excited.
You got me fired up, brother. You've hit the nail squarely on the head with that problem, and that's exactly what it is. If anybody has ever seen, or had read The Monster from Jekyll Island.
Yes, G.W. Griffin.
Griffin wrote that Monster from Jekyll Island. It's as thick as a Webster's Dictionary, but it's a very thorough chronology and history of how the Federal Reserve came into being and who was behind it and why and how they did it and so on and so forth. And then the other one was Aaron Russo did a documentary called America from Freedom to Fascism. And you can still find it out there somewhere, I think. I'm surprised that you still can. But there's a scene in there where they interview somebody who has really looked into this whole income tax thing. And that was one of the points they made, was that every penny collected in income by the income tax goes to pay interest to the loans that the U.S. government takes out from those international Jewish banking cartels. Not one penny of your income taxes goes to fund a single government, quote unquote, service. It doesn't build roads. It doesn't pay for the military. It doesn't pay for anything. It's strictly to service the interest on the loans that the U.S. government has taken out from those people. And
that's right,
folks,
Mark.
Don't understand that. They don't understand that. You know,
not one bushel of wheat, not one drop of oil, not one bridge, not school, nothing. It goes to these damn Jew bankers that control and run the whole United States of America, the Sodom of the Potomac, and the Yankee government. Mark, my brother, we're totally out of time. I really enjoyed this show with you, and I know our audience has too. Have to get you back on again. Next time we get you on, I'd like to get you on with Rand, where I can just play the master of ceremonies, bring y'all in and out of the breaks, and let y'all do all the narrative. Thank you again so much.
You're welcome, Eddie, and it's always an honor to be on with you. And I apologize again for being a little late coming in at the beginning.
That's okay, buddy. Just watch out for a contract, but happen again. Good night, everybody.
I'll do
it. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Thank you, precious Blood River Radio family. Thank you so much. Thank you, James, for sending that news clip. Good night, everybody. See you same time next week.